Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I have been teaching this past year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, was on sabbatical. Well, I have good news, and that is that Pastor is back from sabbatical and will begin teaching on the radio next Wednesday. He has prepared a powerful message titled, How to Live a Stumble-Free Life. Please don't miss any part of this teaching because when applied, this biblical information will keep you under the covering of God's Word and bring you victory no matter what evil comes against you. Remember, if you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's finish my teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God, which we started on May 1st. Most Christians know that praying should be part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. As a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered or say that the Holy Scriptures do not work. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause the person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's Word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching was designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We have examined why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I identified 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His Holy Word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His Word. This study consisted of 10 parts. An introduction, Part 1, the prayer of agreement. Part 2, petition prayer. Part 3, intercessory prayer. Part 4, anointing with oil. Part 5, laying on of hands. Part 6, gifts of healings. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. All of these parts we have completed thus far. Part 8, special anointings. And part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication, which we will examine today. You found out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying give us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules in faith, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. We welcome our first-time listeners and encourage you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information regarding this important teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note, for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. When we closed out last week, I had time to complete part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Therefore, today we will begin with part 8. Part 8, special anointings. The prayer of special anointings is usually used for those individuals who are bedridden and are not able to attend a church service to have hands laid on them. The most common method is for a believer to have the minister lay hands on a handkerchief or apron and then place that anointed cloth on the sick person for healing. What takes place with this action is that the anointing of the person praying is transferred via the cloth to the person who is sick. Let's examine a few examples in the Holy Bible regarding special anointings. Please go to Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Acts 19, 11 and 12 say, God was doing extraordinary and unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or face towels or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. I want to highlight verse number 12, just to identify how people were receiving healings by the special anointings. Again, verse 12 says, handkerchiefs or face towels or aprons that had touched Paul's skin were brought to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Family, notice that the anointing on Paul was so powerful that his clothing and other garments that touched him became saturated with God's anointing and could be transferred to the sick for their complete healing. And not only for healing the sick, but also to cast out demonic spirits. This same anointing is in us as Christians, the children of the Most High God. But we must dare to believe and then operate in the authority and power of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's continue with Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Matthew 9, 20, 22 says, then a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him, Jesus, and touched the tassel fringe of his outer robe. For she had been saying to herself, if I only touch his, Jesus, outer robe, I will be healed. Verse 22. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, take courage, daughter. Your personal trust and confident faith in me has made you well. And at once the woman was completely healed. Praise the name of Jesus. Family, here's a reminder. I want to highlight 21 and verse 22. It says she had been saying to herself, if I only touch his, Jesus, outer robe, I will be healed. Now, if you have read this event recorded in the Gospels, you know that there is more detail regarding how she came about touching the garments of Jesus. This woman had heard and possibly seen miracles performed by Jesus the Christ. And when she heard the good news of healing, she believed and she took action. She decided, I'm ready to get this hemorrhage over with. I'm ready to receive my healing. Let's drop down to verse 22. Because notice what Jesus said. Jesus didn't just say it was the authority power in me that healed you. He said, your personal trust, referring to the woman, and confident faith in me has made you well. And at once the woman was completely healed. Again, family, this woman heard and believed that Jesus was able to heal her. And not only did she believe in his anointing, but that his clothes were saturated with a godly anointing, so that she only needed to touch the hem of Jesus' garment to receive her healing. This is her faith in action. It was her faith in the anointing that set her free from 12 years of pain and suffering. Glory to God. We can receive from this event, this recorded event, that we're going to have some faith in order for us to receive. So we have to act on what we believe, and that should be God's holy word. Let's go on to our next example. Go to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read verses 35 and 36. Matthew 14, 35, 36 says, and when the men of that place recognized him, Jesus, they sent word throughout all the surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were perfectly restored. Verse 36, again, we're talking about special anointings. These men went out and searched for the sick, knowing that Jesus was on his way. And as a result of that, they put their faith in action. So that in verse 36, it says, they begged Jesus to let them merely touch the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were perfectly restored. Praise the name. Let's go on to our last special anointing example. Please turn to Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Acts 5, 12 to 16 says, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders, attesting miracles, were continually taking place among the people. And by common consent, they all met together at the temple in the covered porch called Solomon's Portico. Verse 13, but none of the rest of the people, the non-believers, dared to associate with them. However, the people were holding them in high esteem and were speaking highly of them. More and more believers in the Lord, crowds of men and women, were constantly being added to their number, to such an extent that they even carried their sick out into the streets and put them on cots and sleeping pads, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one of them with healing power. Last verse, verse 16. And the people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Woo, praise the Lord. Family, this is good news, and it's all for our benefit. Now, before I continue, let's go back to verse number 12. I want to highlight that first part of the verse. It says, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders, attesting miracles, were continually taking place among the people. Pay attention, family. We're not talking about Jesus performing miracles. We're talking about the apostles, the disciples, the believers. Drop down to verse 14. It says, more and more believers in the Lord, crowds of men and women, were constantly being added to their number. Family, if we want the people to be brought in, the world, the sinners, the non-believers, then we're going to have to show them that we serve a living God. We're going to have to show them that we have a merciful and loving God who is ready to heal them. This is how the people are drawn to Christ, or at least it's one of the ways. Verse 15, it says, Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one of them with healing power. So we're not talking about Peter laying hands on the sick. We're talking about his shadow falling on the sick people with such a power and anointing that the sick were healed. Then in verse 16, last part of the verse says, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. That's what was brought to Peter. And it says, and they were all being healed. Amen. Family, this completes my teaching on special anointings. However, listeners, I purposely closed with an example that shows believers in action, the apostles, being used under special anointings so that you can make yourself available. This type of prayer is still available for us today. It is available for those Christians who dare to believe and want to be used for God's glory. Amen. Now let's go on to the last part of this teaching, which is part 9. Part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. The Holy Bible is the handbook for Christian living. If you have a concern in your life, you can always go to the Holy Bible to get scripture and verse to solve the issue and get instructions on what to pray regarding the situation. The Holy Bible has an answer to all our challenges. However, there are certain issues that may come up where you will not have a clear guide as to what to do. This is the time you will need to pray the prayer of consecration and dedication. Hence, the prayer of consecration and dedication should only be prayed when you don't know the will of God in the matter, or you do not know if an alternative option that appears equally correct should be taken. At the very beginning of this study, I stated that we should never use the phrase, if it be thy will, when ending a prayer of faith. However, here is the exception to this rule. When you pray the prayer of consecration and dedication, you are asking the Heavenly Father for His will on the matter at hand, because the Holy Bible does not have a promise that you can stand on in faith. Therefore, you should pray, if it be thy will. For illustration of this type of prayer, I will use an example that deals with ministry assignments. This is dear to my heart because, as you all know, I am in ministry. I've been called to the office of teacher in the body of Christ. I know that if I want to complete my divine assignment here on earth, I must be teaching God's word to His people. However, I do not have a verse in the Bible that tells me what city or institution to work for to teach God's word. Here is how the prayer of consecration and dedication assists me to find the right place and timing of what God wants for me. This is what I pray to get God's will for my life. I pray, Heavenly Father, I know You have called me to teach Your holy word, and I am willing and trained to do so. I received an offer to teach in a church in New York City, and I am willing to go, if You want me to go. I have also received an offer to stay here in my hometown of Kansas City to teach at a ministry school. I need Your clear direction as to which offer to accept. I thank You, Father, that where You send me, I will be successful and a blessing to the students You bring to my class. And I thank You for giving me clear instructions on what to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This type of prayer can be used for changing jobs, choosing a college, a church home, buying or dedicating a new house, car, or business to the Lord. Let's read how Jesus used this type of prayer. please go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39 says, "And after going a little further, he, Jesus, fell face down and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, that is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" I want to read that last part of the phrase, because when you love the Lord and you want to please your Heavenly Father, this should be what's in your heart when you pray a prayer of consecration and dedication. It says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Again, family, this type of prayer is used when you do not have a promise in the Holy Bible as to where to go or when to go. So you're asking the Father to give you a clear understanding of His will regarding the situation. This completes part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. In closing, I want to remind you of what I shared with you on day 1 of this teaching. Our godly prayers or words are the effective weapon against Satan, his demonic angels, and evil assignments. Whatever we are saying over our life situations, the life of our loved ones, or the world in general is what will take place or manifest in this earth realm. Our words create life or death. And the good news is that we are responsible for it all. Listener, why is this good news? Because we alone control what we say and what words we use regarding our life. And more importantly, we can make our words line up with God's word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Jesus is speaking, and he says in Matthew 16, 19, "I, Jesus, will give you the keys, authority of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven." Listener, we receive the keys or authority of the kingdom of heaven when we receive the gift of salvation in Jesus. Further, we bind and loose by our words. We cannot tie up Satan physically, but when we speak God's word, his promises over the challenges of life, we are literally forbidding Satan from stealing, killing, and destroying us. In like manner, when we loose or speak God's word, his promises, we are permitting the blessings that were provided to us by Jesus to come upon us. Family, this is an awesome divine law that our words are so powerful. They have authority to create in this earth realm. And you have the responsibility, the privilege to speak life over your life. Speak life over the circumstances that try to come against you, to bind Satan and put him in place. And you can do it, family, by finding out what the Word of God says and then using God's Word to keep Satan out of your life situations. Listener, when we pray, we are talking to our Heavenly Father. And God tells us to pray without ceasing. In other words, we should pray and ask God to direct our actions on the little and big issues of life. The primary reason we want to ask our Heavenly Father for help is because He knows the end at the beginning. And He not only knows what is best for us, but He is able to see through Satan's deceptions that are designed to keep us from succeeding in life. Therefore, let's keep praying and keep Satan under our feet. Amen. Family, it has been a great honor and privilege to teach on this wonderful radio program to you listeners. And I trust that while you were listening in this past year, you learned a little bit more about God's Word, and it will make you victorious, spirit, soul, and body, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you for your time. Amen.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.